Hi, I'm Corey, and I'm an alcoholic. I've never done this before, so bear with me. My sobriety date is 9/21/2014. I first started drinking when I was 15 years old, and I thought it was all fun and games at first. It was a lot of fun at first. You know, there was no consequences at all. Just go out and party, drink, and I was, me and my friends would go to the gas station on the corner, and they wouldn't ID us at all, and we'd go buy cases of beer and get some drinks and stuff, and go out and sit on the side of the building and drink, because that's what we thought was cool. And I ended up just continuing drinking. You know, the stuff at the time I didn't think was stupid, you know, the stuff that I did. When I was 15, I remember we got caught at a park after dark, and the cops pulled us over, and we were sitting over on the side of the road, and I decided to go and around back, and I had to go so bad, I just peed on the cop car. I know that's a little weird, but I laughed about it, you know, and it's stupid. It was all fun at first, you know, and when I was, I started getting older, going to parties in high school and stuff, just getting drunk and dancing and stuff, meeting girls and stuff, and it seemed like the place to be at the time, and it wasn't. I fell into drugs a lot too, and it's a big part of my story also. But when I was 18, I lived with my mom my whole life, and I was a really selfish kid. I wanted everything my way, and I wanted things to happen my way and now, not later, you know. And my mom would, she'd pretty much spoil me, and I was just very demanding and greedy. And my alcohol and drug use, I kept coming home every day drunk, high, and after school, you know. Instead of going home doing my homework like I should have been, I was out partying. I'd come home and mom would be like, "What's wrong with you?" You know, come home, try to stick the key in the door, miss like 800 times and drop it. And she finally got sick of it when I was 18, and I came home one night and my bags were by the front door and a suitcase was there. She always said, "You're not gonna live here anymore if you keep continuing on what you're doing." And I just didn't believe her, you know. But I heard her so many times over and over, and my bags were packed at the door, and I knocked on the door, and I remember saying, I was drunk at the time. I remember saying, you know, "Why are my bags out here? This is my house too, blah, blah, blah." And she said, "You don't live here anymore." And this was in Alabama. I lived there for several years. And it got to about 14 degrees outside that night. And I had to stay in this abandoned house, and pretty much since 18, I was doing my own thing, just getting screwed up every day any way I could. And Just running around the streets is no kind of way to live, and I just mask all my pain by drinking the day away from morning to night. I drink beer, and it all kinds of, I mean, everything just went downhill quick, you know. I started fighting, started getting in trouble, got arrested once. Jail's not fun. It's not the place to be at all. So I knew this way wasn't working, and I always chased and chased and chased and chased the drink or the high, and just put all my effort into it, you know, not doing good things, just doing the wrong things, and bad things started happening. It wasn't really fun to drink anymore. It wasn't fun, you know. It sucked. Every day waking up, not knowing how I got there, where, like, just drinking myself to a blackout, and then waking up in some other part of town, in somebody's house a couple times, and it's just crazy. And I know if I kept going that it would eventually lead to death, and I'm too young to be doing this, and so I decided one day my mom stuck with me the whole time. She'd come see me every once in a while, and it'd tear me up to have her see me like how I was, because every time I saw her, I would be messed up every time I see her, and it just got to the point where she wouldn't even say anything. She just knew, and she'd just look at me and give me that look, like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I remember looking at her one time and just drinking the last sip of my beer, and it just kind of, like, hit me inside, like, what am I doing to myself? I'm just killing myself every single day. And it hurt me to see what I was doing to myself, to see that my mom was hurt, you know. I haven't seen my family. They all think I'm disgusting, you know. I just sit on the street and drink all day, panhandle people, you know, begging for money and stuff. And so I decided to get clean. And I went to the Amethyst Detox Center after going through another detox, and I met a sponsor, and started working the steps. And you know, step one, I found out that I'm powerless over this. Every time I pick up a drink, it's not going to end up well. I'm going to go until I black out. I'm going to go until something bad happens, until we're fighting, or until I'm passed out. And it just made my life unmanageable. And I found a sponsor, and he's a good guy. He's in here right now. Blair. Thank you. And two, I had to find a power that was greater than myself, and that's God. God's my higher power. I give everything to God. I just can't do this myself, and sometimes I forget it's my problem. I forget I can't try to keep doing this by myself, because if I do, I'm going to end up right where I was before. I never got sober by myself before. I need the help. You know, I have to ask somebody for help. And if I just stick to myself and think I can do it, I'll get caught up in my head. And I turn my life over to God. And I started working step four, digging up all these past resentments and the fears and all kinds of crap. And it just sucks, you know? It sucks to see, but I can work on it, you know? I have somebody there that I can go get through this thing with. And I pray every night, every day. You know, I ask God for guidance through this. And I have to take out some time out of every day to do some recovery, because if I don't, I'll just slip back into this funk, and it's not good to be in that funk. And the self-will thing, my biggest problem, you know, I stopped calling my sponsor for like a month and a half and was doing things my way, and nothing was going good. Nothing was going good Corey's way. It was going really bad. And so I picked up the phone, and it's just like a slap in the face. Like, what are you doing, you know? Why are you trying to work things on your own? You can't do it, but that's what our minds tell us to do. And just think it's funny. It sucks, but I mean, I'm grateful every day that I have places like this I can come to, and people that are here with the same issues that I have, so that I can relate, you know? That's all I got.